Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
Looks like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
Brought to you by Satanic.
Damn it. Every time I try to. Hang on, I gotta put the right intro on.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, the Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of the bay, on the Ooze, right now.
On the Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into the adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, thanks for tuning in. Now that Blog Talk Radio's officially got me a little bit irritated, that's the second day in a row that it hasn't played the correct intro when it starts up, even though I've said it each time. What'd you think of the new intro, Matt?
Man, you've been holding out on me. That was badass. I loved the different clips you got from BTR shows, from YouTube, man. It was a nice little mashup you got there. Good job.
And what'd you recognize was from YouTube?
Well, one was for me. You know, the Ooze is going to be there. Another one was Zach Satanic International. You got him going on there, and yeah, a couple clips.
Right on. So how you doing this morning, man? You got your coffee in you?
You know it, man. I got my coffee and woke up to a nice surprise of coffee cake, and I'm ready to have my brain wrapped around some fairly new topics that were introduced to me as of last night.
Yeah, I did kind of spring it on you on the last minute. You know, actually, how this whole thing came about, I was on the 600 Club, checking out one particular thread. And in that thread, a very, very sharp person, someone I respect intellectually, Mindfux. I don't know if you're familiar with this guy or not.
No, I've been horrible, man. Like, when it comes to certain homework, I've been meaning to get onto the 600 Club, like we talked about. But.
Right on. Well, there's a guy on there named Mindfux. He also hangs out on Sin. Really, really sharp dude. Really sharp dude. Well, he made some commentary in regard to the Temple of Set, and his commentary was that it failed to answer the hard problem. And this is kind of, I mean, it's something that I had been somewhat familiar with, but I'll explain to you in a minute why I didn't think anything about it. But I had to, you know, kind of confirm that this is what he was talking about. So I asked him straight up, and you know, of course, Jason King came back with a, duh, you should know this is what he's talking about. But, you know, me as a person who tries to make as little assumption as possible, and this actually kind of ties into how I feel about it as well, I tend to actually think of things in a way that I want to be as minimalistic or as efficient with them as possible. I don't want to have to make too many assumptions. I don't want to have to, basically think of anything on measure of faith. I want, you know, there to be good, solid logic to why I'm, you know, in the current worldview that I have. So,
right on. And really quickly, before you go on, when I was researching the hard problem of consciousness, one of the things that coincides perfectly with what you just said was Anton LaVey saying, keep it simple, stupid. And they, you know, Occam's razor utilizes that same technique when trying to explore different theories.
Right. So, Anyway, for our listeners, I thought that this would be a really kind of cool thing to examine, not necessarily try to actually answer this question, but trying to answer if this question is even relevant in terms of pantheon or paradigm. You know, your worldview is, you know, it's constructed of several things. At least that's my opinion of how a worldview works. And, you know, you have to ask yourself some pretty fundamental questions from an early age. And I just don't think that this is one of those questions that you necessarily have to have answered to have a correct idea set. And that's kind of where we're coming at this with at this point. The hard problem of consciousness, what that is that is the problem of trying to explain why it is that we have an emotional connection to the phenomenon that's happening. And not just emotionally, like we would think of as, you know, feeling or feelings, you know, like happy, sad, whatever, but emotion as in the actual quality of existence itself. They call it qualia in philosophical schools. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not real polished on my philosophical verbiage and whatever, but I do tend to think of myself as somewhat of a natural philosopher. I come up with ideas in my mind all the time to answer, you know, questions that I'm posed with. And this is one of the question sets that, you know, I'm having a little bit of a difficulty figuring out if, you know, we even need to answer. I mean, does there have to be an explanation as to why the human experience exists? You know, it seems to me that any attempt to go at answering this question at this point in time would really kind of require us to make a great deal of assumptions. I mean,
right. I was gonna get into that as well. You know, waiting for the right moment to talk about that. Is the in the problem? If you go on the Wikipedia page, look it up. If you look it up anywhere else online, like you know, Yahoo Answers, wherever, the problem of consciousness, it makes the way it's stated itself makes a lot of assumptions. Like, you know, how do we define, like, they don't even define the term quality or the emotional connections, like what type of emotional connection. They try with the philosophical concept of philosophical zombies, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't really bring up what it is that they're trying to say that we have that makes it part of consciousness.
Right. Well, what they're actually trying to do is come up with some kind of a logical explanation for why it is that we actually have the thing called experience. You know, to me it seems, if you had to draw any kind of conclusion at all, you know, it would seem to make the most sense that that's rooted in the fact that any living entity has to become a problem solver in order to continue to sustain existence, you know, from the single cell organism all the way up to, you know, very complex systems like ourselves. And even if we were to go into even more complex systems like the, you know, universe itself, you know, we all have one thing in common. In order to continue to perpetuate our existence, we have to have a natural kind of a problem solver on board. You know, you come to a new, let's say you're a single-celled organism and you come to a new mineral you've never experienced before. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know that much about the cellular level to be able to even kind of determine, you know, how this question gets answered. And I think that's really what I'm getting at here with the whole thing today on the show is this even a valid question at this point in time?
Right. Now, Beast, my question to you, when you brought up this topic, was you mentioned Occam's razor, and I see the connection myself, but I was wondering if you could clarify for the audience, where do you see Occam's razor fitting in with this argument?
Well, my point about Occam's Razor was that you had to make a considerable amount of assumptions, a considerable amount of, I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah, assumptions. You had to assume a lot of things in order to, even answer the question. So the question becomes unnecessary to answer. If you have experience already, do you really need to know where it comes from in order to expand that experience into a worldview?
Right. And that actually, when I was doing a little bit of the research last night for today's show, I came across, right away, the first thing that popped into my head was Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right on.
And the reason why, and, this is what I was talking about where I came up with my own conclusion right away, is that the only reason that, we're able to think about these things and make these assumptions is because we've evolved. It was a natural process that brought us up to the top. The first thing as organisms, we have to worry about food, breathing, that sort of thing, all the way to the base of the pyramid. Then you get, emotional needs, towards the middle. And then, all the way up, when you're comfortable enough in your survival, after you've had everything pretty much taken care of, then you can start, thinking about these things, thinking about these qualities. And that's where I see this whole problem of, why do we need to experience comfort? Because we've actually taken care of those needs already.
Right. Well, that's kind of sort of where I was coming at it with, too. If we want to talk about that thing that thinks about abstract concepts and ponders issues such as this hard question, where does that thing come from? Well, my belief is that as we've grown through evolution, we've become more efficient in fulfilling certain needs, and so what used to be dedicated to, seeing after the fulfillment of those particular needs is left over with nothing but time on its hands, so to speak. And so,
right.
So that's kind of my look at it. But again, this isn't. We're getting at what our ideas are in terms of how this works, but we're not really answering what my question is. Is the hard problem a valid approach? And I believe that, everybody's going to have something different to say on it. Is it important in your mind, Matt, to answer the hard problem?
Not really. And to be honest with you, because the truth is we have it. The truth is we use it. We experience it every day. So, if you want to look at it from a neurological standpoint, then yeah. What makes us function, biologically, what makes us have this experience? That would be probably the best approach. But as to why we have this, not really.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is we're asking why we have this instead of just saying, okay, this is what causes it. We have the immediate cause scientifically answered. But, in terms of asking why it happens, I think it's kind of silly. Why does the rain fall when, the dew saturation or the dew point in the clouds has reached its critical density? Because the conditions were correct to do so. That's kind of the same answer that I come to when asking myself if I can explain to myself why I have this thing called consciousness. And just the conditions were conducive for me to have it. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Well, I think by asking why, they're trying to... Some people can ask the question why and try to open the gates to something else. If you notice, there's a lot of assumptions that take place. And I've seen this in other areas and in other arguments, especially with creationists. There's an assumption involved, and then they're trying to really take your thought process in a direction that they want it to go and try to make things work where I wouldn't say necessarily make things work where it doesn't, but try to, let's say you have a puzzle piece, try to jam a piece that doesn't fit. you know, because it wasn't cut correctly. And try to come up with their own puzzle.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, perhaps that is what's happening here, but it seems to me it's just another word dance, you know, it's just another way to dance around and try to, I don't know, again, like you were just saying, force a piece of puzzle to fit in a spot that it doesn't belong.
Exactly.
So, got quite a few people here. This is a discussion edition, 347-989-1371. Give us a call. Let us know if you think the hard problem is something that needs to be answered or if you think that it's something that's pretty much irrelevant. And more so, if the commentary can be specific to the context in which I originally encountered this question, which was what Mindfucks was saying was that the Temple of Set failed to meet or answer this in their ideology, therefore they were defunct. You know, is that a valid approach? Does a philosophical or ideological system need to answer the hard problem in order for it not to be a defunct system?
Right on, man. Right on. So how many people we got in the chat today?
I'm guessing 8 or 9.
Woohoo!
That's not bad. Actually, something a little
note
I thought you might find interesting. Last week's show with Zandora LaVey had 70 live listeners.
Holy crap.
Now, the next night's show, which was a highlight with Jason Sorrell, had 44 live listeners. What's really interesting here, though, is Jason Sorrell's show is beating Zandora LaVey's show hands down in archives.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I think that's kind of interesting. It just goes to show that, you know, Jason Sorrell's definitely, you know, he's got his place. He's becoming a satanic icon of sorts. So.
Well, the beautiful thing about an artist, no matter, you know, where they are, is they can create their own icons for people to take on for themselves, you know? And I think that's a wonderful gift that he can offer the world.
Right. So, all right, real quick here, man. Again, I'm going to say anybody who wants to call in and comment on the hard problem, it's 347-989-1371. If we don't get a call in the next couple of minutes here, I think we're going to go ahead and just kind of take a look at what the argument has been thus far, because there's actually been some interesting people to kind of comment on this. I don't know if you clicked any of the reference links that were in that Wikipedia article, but like the Phenomenal Experiences link takes you to a spot where it's actually some pretty intense dudes talking about it. It's Immanuel Kant, or Kant.
Oh, okay.
Hume, Daniel Dennett. I mean, these are all big names.
These are big names, yeah.
Yeah. So John Locke, Thomas Reed, everybody's taking a crack at this. So what is the hard problem is what we're being asked. Okay, maybe I didn't define this correctly. I'll read it exactly as it's described in Wikipedia. The hard problem of consciousness is the problem of explaining why we have qualitative phenomenal experiences. In other words, why the human experience exists.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just reading that out there because I saw it, so.
Well, yeah, like I said before, it's really a question of how. I mean, we've come to the conclusion that we've evolved and that these experiences are due to chemicals in the brains and in the brain, excuse me, brain's plural. Yeah, I'm tired. I need more coffee.
That's okay. Drink up some coffee. I knew this show would kind of either kick off with some really good responses or dumbfound a lot of people, including myself. So, kind of hoping we get a little commentary today on this stuff, because I really don't know what to think myself other than that it's just via Occam's razor unnecessary to examine the problem.
Well, the other thing I was looking at last night that I'd like to address now while we have the time is that Occam's razor is not 100%. I mean, it is. It takes out a good portion of arguments, don't get me wrong, but there are a few exceptions to that rule.
Well, I don't think that. I think that the things that prove themselves to be exceptions to that rule aren't things that are based heavily on assumptions. They're things that have a good enough factual backing behind them that you don't need to draw assumptive conclusions. So,
right, exactly.
I mean, if you can demonstrate something outside of that where Occam's razor fails.
I can, as a matter of fact. I looked that up last night, and there was a situation. I found it on Yahoo Answers, and if you guys want to link, I mean, I'm sure the medical world has more of these, but there was a situation. Somebody asked on Yahoo Answers, like, have you seen a situation where Occam's razor failed? And this guy said, sure. I was diagnosed with a problem like with like light breathing and a slow heart rate, and doctors automatically assumed that it was the symptoms of something, you know, one thing. And more as time went on, this person, you know, they came to realize, okay, it's not due to this. He was misdiagnosed, and they said, okay, well, this isn't working. So I said, maybe it's a combination of factors. And so they looked into what other things could be, and then, you know, by dividing it even more, they found out that he had two or three things going on simultaneously in his body. So, I mean, that's a situation where, I mean, like I said, it's an exception, but that was a situation where the simple answer was not necessarily the correct one.
Right on. All right, let's. We've got a caller, so let's go ahead. 613, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. It's Bourne.
Hey, Bourne.
Hey.
What's up, man?
What do you think of this?
I have to admit that I'm at a bit of a disadvantage because I haven't read the threads on the hard problem so far. But as far as is it worth questioning reality and is there anything to be taken from it, I think only for those who are at a point where figuring out pieces of consciousness are a benefit to you, I think that's the only time that it's worth anything. Otherwise, it just ends up being this you know, piece of circular logic that could drive you mad
exactly, quite
easily.
Right on. Well, Bourne, let me put it to you this another way, and let's see how you answer. Let's say that you are Grand Poobah for the cult of horny goats, and you know, you've got this great philosophical system that kind of blends Eastern mysticism with some Dark Ages, Western magic, and someone comes along and they say to you, you know, your system sucks, and you ask why, and they say because it fails to address the hard problem. Do you think that that's relevant at that point?
I wouldn't entirely think so, because it may not address the hard problem for that individual. However, the more adept folks who have been into it for a while may be coming to their own conclusions on the hard problem by their own merit through that system. So I think to jump in right away without testing the mettle of those philosophies is kind of, you know, wrought with folly, I think.
Right on. And that was kind of my opinion, too. I mean, now, what made it even more interesting to me was the guy that actually made the statement. I have a lot of respect for. I mean, philosophically, the dude is, the dude's pretty solid. So I was like, I was trying to figure out why that became a valid thing. And I just couldn't answer that question for myself. So, here we are.
I say here we are trying to cut the Gordian knot.
Yes, I think that's sort of it. Right on. So, anyway, anybody else have any other thoughts on this whole deal?
Yeah, geez, I'm kind of at a loss. I didn't really have enough time to ponder before calling in.
No, that's all right, man. I'm pretty sure that this is appropriately labeled because it is a hard question. You know, I mean, it's at least appropriately labeled, but just because a question is difficult to answer doesn't make it, you know, the authority of questions. You know what I mean?
For me, where it gets me is that I think there's too many assumptions wrapped up inside of the argument to begin with. I mean, you really have to break this argument down more and more in order to make it, you know, stand. And the philosophical zombie within that context also, what is it, qualia? I think these are two things that definitely need more defining before you can even ask the hard question, quote-unquote, or the hard problem.
Well, the hard problem itself, I mean, what it's talking about is all the things that you see, feel, touch, taste, smell, everything that you take in empirically creates a sensation within your body, and that sensation leads to different things like thoughts, ideas, emotions, imaginations. There's a million ways you can slice this, dice this, relabel it, repackage it, and put it out there. But the question of it is, and what it's trying to get at here, is why do we have this experience, is what I call it.
Right, and going back to what I said, I think it's because we've evolved to have that experience. We've already taken care of the hierarchy, or we've taken care of base needs.
Right, I'm not asking you the question, though. I'm getting at why this question is tossed around, you know?
Well, I mean, that's really one of the oldest questions that we have available, isn't it? You know, the whole, why am I here? What the hell's going on? You know, why am I even experiencing this reality? To approach it from a logical level, I think, though, when it's such an abstract concept, kind of battles between the two when you try to answer something that's so abstract with nothing but logic.
Right, and I think it's
right,
putting the cart before the horse in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I'm of the mind, I'm inclined to agree that it's an evolutionary process. You had mentioned earlier, you know, starting off with single-celled organisms that moved on and through survival and evolution have become more complex. And consciousness very well could be no more than a survival mechanism.
Right, the problem solver.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, what gets difficult about that, though, is then they want to talk about, well, you know, everything is not about solving a problem. But, you know, I think these are things that have gotten bored. They no longer have a purpose. So, you know, now they shoot for the abstract concepts. But it looks like we're actually going to have another, well, no, it means I'm actually getting back on my headset. Never mind. Hang on. All right, sorry about that, fellas. I had to go outside and have a cigarette while we were talking about this. I mean, I've really been kind of pondering this and trying to figure out what there is to really even say about this, other than it's a neat question, but I don't think it's one that has to absolutely be answered for you to have a firm ground to stand on in any kind of philosophical or ideological truth.
Question beast.
Yeah.
Does Mindfuck know about the show today? Think he'll be calling in?
I don't think he knows about the show today. I don't think he really follows the ooze. It's a shame because I really would love to have him tackle this, but, I, you know, I'm going to assume, like I said, the guy is a really, really sharp character. I'm going to assume that he has good reasoning for why he's making that statement. I was just kind of hoping, since we tend to, you know, get some listeners with some pretty big brains, that somebody might come in and say, yeah, that is something that needs to be answered, and this is why.
I can't see any reason for it to definitively be answered. And were it to be definitively answered, what would we do with that answer? Would it be something that would enrich us all, or would it just create more hard problems, so to speak?
Well, you know, similarly, when I was looking this up, I just remembered this now. When I was looking up this problem, they came up with the concept of redness. That was another thing that you could find on Wikipedia that's associated with the heart problem. And some people ask, you know, like, how red is an apple? It's like, you know, look, I think you're asking the wrong question here. You know, I guess if you really wanted to break it down, you could, like, give the components of orange, yellow, whatever goes into red, but what does that matter? And what if you're colorblind?
This is true, yeah. There's many different shades of red, but they're red nonetheless. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just, once again, via Occam's razor, it seems like an unnecessary question, and I think that's what we all keep coming back to. So, I think it's really fascinating. Wicked Puppies in the chat room agreeing with Bourne. You know, what would we do with the answer if we had it? The only thing that I could say is, you know, maybe, just maybe, it would give us the ability to reach further out in space. I mean, I have noticed that the further man can travel inside of himself, the further man can travel outside of himself, too. I don't know.
Absolutely. Know thyself should be the mantra. I totally, fully agree.
Right. But, you know, then again, is it so important as to how you came to be aware? I think that, you know, is shadowed by actually the experience of being aware.
I guess a good analogy to kind of look at it in that respect, you know, does it do us any justice to, you know, solve that hard problem? Does it take us any further forward? Would be similar to, you know, if you're driving your car and the entire time you're staring in the rearview mirror, it's only a matter of time before you hit something in front of you because you're concentrating too hard on what's behind you. So as far as usefulness goes, I can see a bit of a parallel there. If you are constantly wondering where it came from, I think perhaps you're ignoring where you could go.
That's precisely what I'm thinking as well. And I mean, you know, people don't ever, well, not that I know, people don't ever sit and think to themselves, how is it that I'm able to draw? You know, they just draw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of those people create beautiful things because they just draw. They don't sit and question whether or not, you know, there's a reason or an explanation for why they can draw. It just seems, again, like everybody here is saying, it seems like a very short-sighted question.
Yeah, that's the consensus.
Right on. So, okay, well, unless anybody's got something to argue here, I would call this matter adjourned, and I don't know, we'll talk about something else in regard to consciousness. It's really interesting, as I was getting into reading about this stuff myself, there's a lot of people who have suggested a lot of different things, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting, if I can just find it here in the writing, when they were talking about there being two different kinds of experience, one being access consciousness, and the other one being phenomenal consciousness. And phenomenal consciousness is what I refer to as just simply being experience, where access consciousness is more dealing with memory and mechanical attributes. Do you guys see that those two categorizations as being a hard dichotomy, or do you think they're both heavily interconnected?
I would see them as being one and the same. You can't have one without the other, in my opinion. One creates the other, and in turn, the one that is created, where like past experiences, kind of dictates how you respond to future events. So it's kind of, they go hand in hand. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah.
I think both build upon one another. That's because there's always something else that you can experience that you can't quite explain. So you need to harness the access of consciousness in order to help define it. And the closer you get, the more, I mean, you can solve one problem, and then two more may arise, and then you solve another problem, and three more may arise. You know, so I see it as an evolutionary process in and of itself.
All right. That's interesting. For me, I tend to believe the dichotomy exists. I think it's a very soft dichotomy. I think that both are interconnected, and both can be singled out when you're in need of examining something that, you know, taps into that specific labeling. But I mean, anything can be cross-organized. You know, I see files all the time that are alphanumeric coded, and then on top of that, they're color-coded as well. So, you know, it just depends on what you're using the vectoring for at that point in time.
Interesting. I apologize, gentlemen. I do have to hang up now. Father Duty's call. So I'm going to have to hang up. But this has been, I don't know, I'm going to be a little confused this afternoon. Thanks for that, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye, boy.
Take care.
Awesome. And then there's a very, very smart guy right there. Anybody who's not familiar with Bourne, he's been on the show multiple times, and he has a little website. It's, what is it? It's godofmendez.ning.com?
Yeah, that's right, the Mendez Collection. You can easily find it on Satanic International.
Right on. So if you guys want to check out, you know, some of the things that this guy proposes, this is the place to go do it. Also, a wicked library on there with all kinds of hard-to-find reads. I think it's pretty neat that, you know, even he's kind of baffled at, you know, the legitimacy of asking this question.
Right, right. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people want to put too much emphasis on one thing. And in fact, it's funny that this should come up at this time, because there's somebody I found on YouTube who I'm going to have to answer to his video, just because I think there's, like I just said, it's like too much of an emphasis on one thing. And in fact, you brought up access memory or access consciousness. I think a lot of people put too much emphasis on the mechanics. And, you know, that's like what I saw in that one video. But in particular, people tend to focus in on one thing and, like, lock on to one thing when they're completely blindsided or, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater on everything else.
Right. Well, see, what we need to have happen here is we need a character like Jason King to call in and
I knew you were going to go there.
And give us, you know, the verbal thrashing of a lifetime and tell us how ridiculous we are for not understanding why this question needs to be answered. But unfortunately, I think Chicken Wings may be, you know, he may be doing bigger and better things at this point. So, still all in all, you know, it's funny. When we encountered this hard problem of consciousness, what I find ironic about it is that I've actually myself taken the initiative to kind of answer that question without even thinking about the fact that I was trying to answer the question. It was more of I was getting to why things work the way that they do. You know, I have a very, I don't know what you want to call it, holistic.
Left brain, logical, mechanical, or holistic, excuse me, I cut you off.
Yeah, I think holistic is what I'm looking for. I see things as occurring not by some intelligent design or something along that lines, but, you know, as just the result of the, you know, the environment being suitable, the grounds being fertile, you know. Like I made the point about, you know, rain falling exactly when the conditions were right for rain to fall. You know, I seem to think that consciousness develops like that. I think that emotions develop like that. I think that once you have an understanding of that, you then learn how to start changing things in your life. I think we kind of do this naturally. You know, you know, you see there's an opportunity for you to get that cookie as a kid, and you know if your room's clean, you've been a good boy, and you've kept your mom in a good mood, that the chances are statistically better for you to get that cookie. You know, that's kind of what I'm talking about, is you can take advantage of a situation by making the environment more conducive to that thing happening.
I choose the other response in which I find a stool. There's so many cookies in the cookie jar, they won't notice just one missing, and put everything back as if I was never there in the first place.
Right, but once again, the conditions were fertile for you to be able to do that.
I know. I just wanted to demonstrate what a sneaky bastard I was as a kid.
Well, it explains why you've probably spent more time with a red ass than a white one. So.
Hey, sometimes I got caught.
Sometimes you got caught. Sometimes the conditions were right for you to get caught, and the conditions were even more right for the belt to meet your bottom, huh?
Yeah. Didn't help. I didn't learn. I'm sorry.
Right. Well,
some people just don't learn through pain.
I picture you as being the kid that was screaming the whole time, "That doesn't hurt." You know, whatever.
Actually, no. I was the opposite. I was like, you know what? That didn't hurt, but I'm not going to let them know.
Oh, okay.
Ow, that hurt. Ouch.
Ah, I see. So you really were all the way, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, there's 15 minutes left in this show, man, and I don't have anything else on the subject at all. I think it was great that Bourne called in and gave us a little
bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly, you know, unless somebody – and I'm going to leave this as an open challenge for the rest of the discussion editions until I get an argument. If someone has – a valid argument as to why the hard problem of consciousness is one that's necessary to answer in order to have a correct ideological or philosophical mindset. At any point in any discussion edition, you can call in and say, "Hey, I want to take a crack at the hard question," and we'll pause whatever we're talking about just to get to that, because I'm that curious about this. These are the kind of things that most interest me to ponder. I don't necessarily care so much what, you know, some dead guy 200 years ago thinks about this question as much as I do its relevancy in today's world amongst today's thinkers. So, you know, for me, it's more of a thought experiment.
For me, it's really a non-issue. So, whatever. I'm more interested in, like, how things – I mean, I already know we have experience, so I want to see not just what causes it, but how we can make it better.
Right. And you know, that's one thing, actually, we didn't discuss here. You know, maybe by being able to answer the question of how it is that we have experience, we can find a way to make it better is what the thought is.
Okay.
But – I mean, do we really need to know how to have better experience, or, you know, do we just need to know how to have better experience?
Well, I mean, there's no, when you get to self-improvement, you can always improve on the self and make your experience better. In fact, we could have like 4 or 5 different shows on how-tos, you know, but I think we're asking a dead question when we ask why, because we already know the how.
Yeah.
Right.
Or at least portions of it.
Right. Well, that's reasonable. I have no argument there. Well, since we got plenty of time, I actually want to go ahead and talk about some things that we've got coming up or going on. Here soon, and it's actually already in existence, but no videos have been uploaded yet. The Ooze will now have an official YouTube channel with highlights from all of our past shows. The clips are going to range anywhere from 1 minute to, I don't know, up to 15 minutes. It'll be clips from either funny, interesting, or elsewise noteworthy moments during the Ooze. That Ooze channel, if you're looking for it, is TheOoze666. That's the username on YouTube, so...
Oh, hey, right now I just thought of a good idea. I mean, while you're putting in clips, Beast, could you also put in all the different intros you've done over in the past?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can do that as well. I actually designed an intro song just for the YouTube channel, too. So.
Excellent.
But I'm looking at having, you know, blooper reels and all kinds of stuff, so it should be a kind of a cool experiment. Let's see, what else is going on? I still don't have a subject for tomorrow evening. Jason Sorrell has been ducking my phone calls this week. I think he's just gotten really busy is all. So I don't know what we're talking about tomorrow night, but I'm sure it'll be something, you know, comical and less philosophically bloated. Warlock Asylum, you can find his name by just, you know, Google searching Warlock Asylum. But it's warlockasylum.wordpress.com. Did an interview with me. If you want to check it out, I'm going to post the link in the chat room. And for those of you listening to the archive, again, it's warlockasylum.wordpress.com. You know, check it out. Kind of cool. He decided to represent me with the avatar of the Green Lantern, which happens to be my desktop background. So,
awesome,
I mean, not the same picture, but... Still, I've always kind of thought the Green Lantern was cool, you know. So, what else is
cool, man? Yeah, man, you've been busy.
Yeah, I've been trying. I've been trying. I built a new outro for the show, which we'll play today at about a minute and a half till. A new intro, although there's a couple more new intros coming in, and hopefully by next week we'll have decided on a permanent new intro for both the distinctions of show. What I actually thought about doing, and I don't know how you feel about this or how the people who are listening feel about this, but I thought about
you mean,
doing...
Wait, really quickly, just to clarify, you're saying like... different intros for like highlight edition and one for a discussion edition, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about doing, yes.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, continue. I just wanted to clarify that.
No, everybody just seems to really enjoy the different intros that I build, and so I thought it would be kind of cool if we did something to make each type of show stand out even more than it already does. You know, this way, if you download it to your iPod or whatever and you have 4 or 5 different shows, you can tell by the music that starts, you know, what to expect.
Yeah, then again, people do like familiarity. you know, the comfort of going back to that one time of the week and then hearing, you know, the Ooze theme, like one central theme. So, I mean, it's ultimately your call. I just wanted to bring that also as a counter argument.
Okay, well, I mean, this is what I'm really looking for. At the end of it all, I know there's going to be at least two distinctions, one from the Outbreak edition and one for the regular Ooze. But I had thought about, again, like I said, having, you know, there be a different one for each category type. So I'm looking for feedback on that. People can email me at theooze@fearthebeast.com. Or they can shoot me a message here on BTR, or better yet, shoot me a message on Sin. And we're looking for show suggestions. We had a guy named Adam411 that dropped like a dozen show suggestions, and then the whole form just disappeared on Sin. So, yeah, before I got a chance to copy the information, he had some really good stuff too. So, Adam, if you're listening, you know, go back and throw it up again, please. This time I'll copy and paste the second I see it.
So it looks like I've got a homework assignment myself, coming up with more show topics, eh?
Guests and show topics, yes, sir.
Guests, yes. I've been working on guests. I need to work a little harder on that.
Right. Well, I think in order for us to really get to the category of guests that I would like to have on this show, we're going to have to really put more emphasis on philosophy and different studies within the occult and less on just satanic ideology.
Well, no, that I completely agree with.
Now, another thing that's kind of occurred to me, Michael Ford, I've been after him for about 4 or 5 months now, trying to get him to be a guest on this show, and he's just not doing it, so I guess I'm going to have to call him out, Beast Zeno style. You know, slap a response video to one of his biggest videos, and basically...
Yeah, he came out with one not too long ago about... like some of his latest books. I think what he's doing is lining his ducks up in a row and, like, waiting for the book to come out so that when he's on whatever spot he's on to cross-promote it.
Right on. Well, I mean, I can appreciate that, but on the other hand, a response to say, hey, I'm not ready yet would be awesome.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of rude to not, you know, at least be kind enough to answer.
You know... I've heard from a couple people that he's not really, he doesn't really communicate, but I don't want to make that sound too negative. It's more like he shuts off communication. From what I speculate, it could just be the fact that he's in work mode, and that does, I mean, I agree that it is somewhat rude, but at the same time, you know, I'm not saying he should do it, but I understand, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. So, you know, it's not like I was going to be a jerk to the guy or anything, but I did have in my mind that I was going to call him out on it. So.
Well, that should make for an interesting views on YouTube.
Yeah, I did the same thing to Jason King and ended up becoming really good friends with the guy because of it. So.
That's, you know, that's one thing that you can say to Jason. On Jason's behalf, in his defense, whatever, I'm lacking the proper terminology at the moment, but he answers the call, you know? He will rise to the occasion.
Right, I don't think that...
Of course, that could also work in the opposite way, where he'll take a red herring, but...
Right, well, I don't think he's ever taken a red herring, but that's just my thoughts.
Anyways, I won't go into that too much now.
Why not? I mean, that might be a good way to get JK back on the air.
All right, you really want to? All right. All right, well, okay, when we were sparring back and forth on YouTube, I made a video where I completely littered it with fallacies. You know, I mean, well, not completely, okay, I put a few things here and there, like... you know, perfect example, insulting the memory of someone who died. And then Jason came out right away and said, okay, how do you insult a memory? You know, I was like, aha, he took the bait.
Okay. The bait was?
The bait was getting him to come after something from a philosophical angle in which I could slap another response video right back. And that response video did pretty well, as I recall.
Right, but ultimately it was still a red herring, so.
Exactly. But he took that and he made a response, and then I responded back. That's what I'm saying. That was like, you know, dangling it right there.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Bye. All right. Anyway, yeah. Let's see. Cookies and arsenic. That's so funny. Wicked Puppy is suggesting we lure King out with cookies and arsenic. Yeah. I already know what to lure King out with. You just put a real big gazelle with a spiked baseball bat sitting next to it in a real quiet, you know, secluded area. Right. It looks like we're actually starting to get our normals in here with the, you know, us having gone way past what we were talking about at this point. So
it's because I think they're waking up on a Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I realize Zach complains constantly that this show's too early for him on Saturday.
By the way, for me, it works in sleeping in. To me, is sleeping in until 8 o'clock in the morning. Because I wake up Monday through Friday at 4:50 a.m. and I get out by 5:30.
Right.
So, yeah, it's fine by me.
Right. I mean, I personally think this is a great time for the show, and I'm happy we have archives for this reason. I don't ever get offended by people not being here during the live show, because they always make up for it in the archives. I mean, we're averaging 300 to 400 a week per show on archives right now. So,
right on, man.
Yeah. So that's just it, man. It's not a bad thing at all. But we're now within the 2-minute marker here, and I really want to roll this new outro again. So everybody, sit back, relax, and enjoy the new outro. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow evening.
All right, later on, guys.
Thank you for listening to the opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Zach Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?